Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barbin. With me is Dr. Nicola Bird. And today we're going to talk about emotional eating versus emotional overeating. And that's a really big difference. And this is something that Nicola just brought up, and it makes sense to me. And so you're going to be along on a ride for us while we try to figure our way through it. We were just talking off air, and we haven't fleshed this whole thing out, so this is a bit of a discovery process for us while we're talking through it. But I think that might be one of the better ways of, you know, bringing everyone along for this ride while we're on it. So, where have we arrived so far?
Well, what we're really trying to help people identify is the difference between emotional eating and emotional overeating. And what I mean by that is just to understand that everybody emotionally eats. It's normal. So nothing's wrong with you if you do it. Food is a reward. It's a feel good. At the end of a bad day, you might want to say, okay, or in a stressful moment, you might want to say, oh, I could really do with that cookie, or I could do with that, you know, pretzels or chips or something. That you want some kind of real feel good reward food, what you associate as your reward food. And many people describe a time of day that they have it, like 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, like some time of the day, especially at work, that they will have like a stressful day. And then that urge to eat, they tend to have a clock, I often hear, when that feeling comes about.
Interesting. Like, so an emotional eating clock even.
Yes. A lot of people describe an emotional eating clock that at this time of day, they're most vulnerable. I hear that a lot. I hear the idea of, I've been good, so I deserve a reward, not just negative.
Okay, so is there a consistent theme? Okay, so if there's a clock, is there also a consistent emotion that keeps popping up at that time?
Well, if they're aware of it. If they're not aware, they
then maybe they're not aware, but is that what you're seeing when...
I do identify, and they learn to understand what's triggering this. So it is typically a consistent emotion, but they may not be aware of the consistent emotion. They may just more be aware of this time they have this urge. You want to get more mindful and get connected to what's driving it, but yes, you'll be aware.
It's not a biological thing. It's that at that moment of your day, the same event happens, and that event is what's causing you. A really good example: if you on the way from home, if you're stuck in traffic, and you know that's happening every time, and on the way home you medicate with food to deal with the stress of the traffic. And I've said this before: I do it. It's not a time of day; it's an event for me when I travel. I always medicate with food because I know how much stressful the travel day is for me.
Right. Many people have like work where they have stressful experiences at work, of course, or just feelings that pop up, pressure, and then they may have feelings of inadequacy, fears, any emotion that comes up, and then the food, of course, is the go-to. And so if a person, so they will want to emotionally eat, it might pop up a couple times a week. The problem that I find occurs is that when they feel like they give in to this urge, quote unquote, then it's like, okay, you know, I ruined everything. I'm done. Just keep going. So just because you have the drive to emotionally eat at 3 o'clock, let's say hypothetically, and you have the chips or the pretzel or the cookie or the cake or something, it's a moment. Let it go. You know, you don't have to keep overeating in the emotional eating. Have your moment. What I would say in that time, again, is slow down a little bit. Just enjoy, like take that moment to actually taste the food, enjoy it. Sometimes what happens when a person is like eating for emotional reasons, when they think they quote unquote shouldn't be eating, they're trying to count their calories, they're trying to stay on track, then it's a lot of kind of hiding and feel like they're cheating and being bad and naughty, all kind of negative.
And this comes to the root of labeling foods as good or bad. If you can try to, and this is the disinhibition eating problem where one bite of the forbidden food turns into 1,000 bites. Whereas what you're saying is be in the moments, allow it to happen, and have, if it's going to be a chocolate bar, then just eat the chocolate bar. Don't eat five, right? And that doesn't mean, oh, I'm done for the day. Now it's going to be pizza. Now it's going to be ice cream. Just have, like you said, if you need it, if you need that food at that moment, that's not an act of overeating. And get it out of your head that leads to the destruction of the whole rest of the day. Instead, if you just feel like you need some chocolate right then, have it. But just have that one and enjoy it right then. Yeah.
And if you take that moment just to actually enjoy it, what happens is they're afraid of the food controlling them. So they kind of shove it down their throat and eating quickly, which is actually the opposite of what you want to do. You actually want to enjoy the taste. Mm-hmm. Have the moment. If you're going to have it, enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But the fear is that they're going to want more and more and more. Like, you know, if you know that you have some challenges with emotional eating, the 3 o'clock is your vulnerable time. You're lying to yourself if every week you step out with, this week is, I'm going to be good, quote unquote. And as soon as you're, quote unquote, not good, then suddenly, oh, well, it'll never work.
Yeah, that's like you're preaching abstinence. It's like, well, that's not going to happen. So,
right.
You know, do it mindfully then. If you're going to eat, just pay attention to what it is you're doing.
And you know, be aware of your patterns. If you do know that you do have vulnerabilities around emotional eating and that these might be your times or these might incidents trigger you, and you give yourself permission to like have, and typically for a person, it's not every day. They might have a couple times where they find themselves in a vulnerable position. Factor that in. Don't pretend it's not going to happen or deny that it happened last week. It's never going to happen again. It is going to happen again. It's reality. It's your pattern. It is going to happen. Now you need to find new ways to deal with it, to give yourself permission to have that moment, not to expect yourself to suddenly be some miraculously cured because on Monday you decide you're going to just be good, quote unquote, and then it's never going to, and that's what people do. They deny it. It's never going to happen again. I won't do it again. Yes, you will.
And to be clear, everybody
does this.
Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if they're a national level athlete or fitness competitor or celebrity or everybody on earth does this.
The difference would be that they're not, that you learn how to emotionally eat without emotionally overeating, but you have these moments where you're like, I really want this thing. But instead of it becoming a pattern of overeating as a result, you like go give yourself some permission. And it needs to be factored into your whole diet plan anyway. Mm-hmm. Add it in. Plan it.
Yeah. If you know there's a, for some people, it's even a day of the week. It's just a certain, like a, you know, a Sunday evening is, or a Saturday, whatever it is. There's a day of the week where you just know that that's when you're like you said, vulnerable, so to speak. And you know what's coming and there's nothing you can do about it. Then factor it in and, I guess make your real compensation on the days when you are least vulnerable and you have you have more of the power on other days.
Right, so. And then you really can streamline then. And of course, you'll always hear me say this, don't beat yourself up about it. Factor it in, know what's going to happen. Say, okay, here's my moment. I knew this was going to happen. It doesn't make me bad or wrong or terrible. And let me enjoy this moment. I'm going to have this moment again, maybe 5 days from now. So I don't have to, you know, eat as much in this one moment because I'm never going to have it again. Yes, you will. You're going to want it again, and it's going to be okay, but have a small, you know, contain it as much as you can and be mindful, enjoy it. While you're eating it, be aware, it's not going to disappear. I can have this again. This is not the end for me. I'm never going to have chocolate again. I'm never going to have this thing again. Yes, you will. It's okay. But have it, you can, so because you know it's going to come back and this moment will occur again, then modify. Enjoy the moment. Be mindful when you're eating it. Remind yourself as you're going along that you can have it again. And then also try and relax to the emotion or attend to what you're feeling at the same time. Like if you're anxious, if you're insecure, if you're scared, if whatever you're feeling, hurt, just be mindful of the emotion at the same time and try and at least give yourself some attention to what you're feeling while you're going through that moment, or maybe not while, but more appropriate, maybe afterwards, but be mindful when you're eating at least that it's a moment that will pass. You haven't done anything wrong. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to keep going and binging. You can cap it.
And I mean, obviously this takes a little bit of practice. And,
yes.
And in the middle of it, if you feel like, well, I can't stop, then one of the things you can do is just try to try to still apply your what you know about food and nutrition to even that moment. So if some of the food just has to be indulgent food, by all means. But then if you feel like you just got to keep going, try to at least mix in some lower calorie things too.
Right.
Like if you know there's just no stopping you at that moment, at the very least, try to fill in some of the bulk of it with lower calorie fruits and vegetables and have your fill, but at the, you know, at least have your fill with some amount of less calorie dense foods. And then maybe that's the start of the process of getting it, pulling it back from overeating just to eating.
And have realistic expectations about yourself. Again, if you know you battle with this, you're just not going to get over it in a second. It just takes some consistency, some mindfulness, some learning self-care.
Like maybe the first step is just switching the volume of what it is. Not even the volume, just the content of all the food you're eating. So maybe it's like, instead of it being all really calorically dense, really indulgent food, it's sort of try to make a deal with yourself to make it half and half.
Well, and I think the reason that people got into like overindulging, like having all the high caloric, all of this stuff, it's because they're thinking in the most deprivation model. I can't have it again. It's bad. I shouldn't be having it. So let me eat as much as I can right now because I can't have it again.
But then I'm going to start over tomorrow and never have it again.
Start over and never have it again.
Yeah, that thought process just has to go.
And because you do that, that's when you're going to just keep shoving and shoving more, all the high calories to consume as much as you can because you're never going to have it again. Mm-hmm. And trying to feed that emotion. So you're adding to the emotional problems because if you're emotionally eating because of being hurt or insecure or anxious, and then now you're feeling deprived, you're adding more to the anxiety with deprivation. And then guilt, and then you're adding and adding and adding more emotional stress. Then, of course, it drives the eating. But really, if you're like, okay, I'm having this moment, it's just that moment. And as John said, yeah, try and contain it. It's not like you can have those. I mean, that's the whole principle of, that's your whole philosophy anyway, that you're allowed to eat from the different food groups. You just want to have some kind of boundaries to the amount you eat, but it's not like you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
we already know that.
Yeah, that's just the volume of the mix. And,
yeah.
And maybe your first step is just making a deal with yourself that you cut some of the heavy stuff with some of the light stuff. And maybe a couple months from now, knowing this is your pattern, it's even less of the heavy stuff and a little bit more of the light stuff. And then from then, maybe you get to the point where it's just less total. So the moment, you still have the moment, but the moment itself just gets smaller.
Smaller.
Yeah. And then you'll probably hit some happy medium where it's manageable. You come out of it feeling okay about it. And then that's kind of where you want to arrive at. I mean, I don't think you can eliminate the moments as much as you just get a control of them.
You learn to manage them better. And I think that, I mean, you know, the high caloric foods, you know, sugar, salt, whatever, a lot of those kind of foods are actually designed to hit your brain and create.
Yeah, and they're moorish. Like they're the sort of things that we get wanting more. And that's
right.
That's a very specific word, moorish, because it doesn't mean they're even sating or satisfying. They're moorish.
Right.
They just beget more and more mindlessly. Like if I don't even like pretzels, but if there's a bowl of them in front of me, I'll eat the whole thing.
Right.
Because that savory thing that it's got going on and the crunch, and it's just right. And I can't even think, I don't even think I have a memory of actually enjoying a pretzel as much as it's literally autopilot. It's just, I eat them. And
right.
I can't even say that I actually enjoyed any of it. It's just
right.
Go. So that's like the definition of something that's moorish. You just, one leads to the next, like potato chips, like that whole Lay's campaign.
Yes.
I bet you can't just eat one. Those foods are engineered to be
very
palatable, easy to
mm-hmm.
eat, easy to chew through, and the satisfaction of the crunch, like all that stuff. And that's not because food manufacturers are malicious and want you to be overweight. They just want you to really be satisfied with what you've purchased. So they're doing their best to make you happy. What's that?
And gain a profit and buy their product.
Right. Well, you know, they don't even care if you eat it. They just want you to continue buying and not return it.
Right.
Right. And so, but part of the way to keep you as a repeat customer is to produce something that tastes really good and that you're really satisfied with or, you know, just enjoy. And that's sort of, you know, the Moorish thing is part of it. So
And it does change your, you know, it's a biochemistry thing, of course.
Yeah,
it changes your, so of course you'll want more, you'll like that taste. But I do think that's where the mindfulness does come in, because usually, like you said, it's as you keep mindlessly eating, really it's the first few bites that are really satisfying. After that, it's kind of a numbing out non-taste. It loses, but you just want to have that kind of sensation, you know, it's like the chewing gum sensation. But
kinda,
So
for me, one of the tricks there is to, after the first few bites of the thing you really, really desired, maybe fill in the rest with lower calorie things.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're in that state and you have to keep eating, start with the chocolate, finish with the salad, if that's what it has to be.
But I mean, a lot of times, again, the desire is to get that kind of satisfying food.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, this is all easier said than done, but this is more or less our best, or I guess this is our best shot at what you could do about it.
And again, I mean, and to distinguish, if you are emotionally eating, it doesn't have to be overeating. Mm-hmm. Have the moment. Just focus on, I'm in the moment, I have this need, there's nothing wrong, this is normal. I'm not defunct, I'm not deficient, I'm not incapable, I'm not a loser. Doesn't mean that you can't do it again, there's no point, and it's hopeless because you're having these cravings or urges. Every human being has cravings, every human being has urges. But
all of us go through this. Yeah.
Everyone does, so you don't have to decide that you are never going to work, it's never going to work, you're never going to make it, it's not, which then just sets you up for like overeating and binging because you just throw away the towel. That's where you, what you really want to be mindful of or watch in yourself, just throw away the towel and go, there's no point in this because look, I'm doing it again.
Because you'll be doing it again for the rest of your life, so you can't you can't resent yourself for being human.
No.
Well, you know what, though? As weird as that sounds, I've had discussions with people who that was the final answer. I'm like, well, what bugs you so much about this? He's like, well, I really thought I was capable of something different. And I'm like, but I've never seen a human do anything other than this. And then he's like, well, then that sucks. So I'm like, you really? So now you're holding yourself to a standard beyond what is human. And that's sort of where we arrived at. And I'm like, well, that's kind of... I was like, you're kind of arrogant, or I don't know what the word is, but who do you think you are if you think you're different than the rest of the human race? So.
Yeah, I mean, and people do have difficulties with their weaknesses and vulnerabilities and limitations. Mm-hmm. And when you have that kind of difficulty with yourself, having your vulnerabilities, just your basic humanity, then you will have unrealistic self-expectations. So, I mean, part of the goal in this, not only the mindfulness, is please adjust your self-expectations to things that are more manageable. And it doesn't mean that you don't have goals, and it doesn't mean that you can't do it, but at least you have to factor in your humanness, your vulnerabilities, account for them, and so that you're not constantly setting yourself up for failure, but placing on yourself completely unrealistic self-expectations that you cannot meet, that no one can ever meet. But unfortunately, what happens is that you're going to suddenly decide to compare yourself to so-and-so over there who appears to you to not have this particular problem.
And that's the key. They appear to, but it's not even a problem. It's just they're doing it too.
Yes. Just in their own unique version. Or a person will, you know, other people might have more ability to manage their emotional eating, and a lot of people do. Some people have more difficulty with it depending on the personality and your experiences and et cetera, et cetera. But everybody else has their own brand of whatever. So they'll have their own particular struggles. So,
yeah, and we're really just talking about getting from emotional overeating to just emotional eating.
Yes, just allow yourself. This is normal. And allow yourself, just give yourself permission to be human. And just try to, like John said, and I said, just cap it, be aware of it, be mindful of it, and give yourself just some flexibility in that area.
Give yourself permission to let the moment happen.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Okay, I think that's a good place to leave it.
I think it's wonderful. Well, good luck.
Yeah, good luck, and let us know how it goes next. Obviously, like I said, it's a little easier said than done, but that's... You know,
but practice, just practice. If you keep focused on it, giving it some, and expect messiness.
Yeah, and just think in terms of, I'm going to take this emotional overeat down to just an emotional eat.
Emotional eat. Perfect.
All right, let's leave it
Perfect.
there. All right, so we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. So for Nicola Bird, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.